live?
I think we're on. Is this thing on?
Is this on? Hello. Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning.
Welcome to your Sunday morning uprising. I am Christy Shea Moore.
And I am David Ross.
And we're happy to be with you. We gather this morning on National Coffee Day. Yum.
Best day.
So we are highly caffeinated and we have donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. God bless Dunkin' Donuts morning.
God bless donuts, period.
Period. Absolutely. I've got my little piece of France and the cruller, or at least they call it a French cruller.
How do you say? I always say cruller. But
I say cruller.
You're probably
you say
right.
Cruller.
You actually went to France.
I don't know. I could be really wrong with this. But but we are happy to be with you again this morning. I'm bringing you a little bit this morning in the news. It has become a part of my calling to keep my friend David informed, because I think I'm, oddly enough, I am of Generation X and he is my millennial friend who doesn't seem to pay as much attention to his device, his phone, as I expect him to.
I spend a lot of time on the phone. It's just, it's not on news sites.
It's not on news sites. And is it on social, do
and
you
I
do social media?
I do social media. I don't have a TV, so it makes it a little bit harder to keep up with news. There's no excuse.
I'm
no excuse.
Flabbergasted by it. But good news for those of us who are Wonder Woman fans. Wonder Woman, according to Forbes.com, is just $1 million shy of the all-time superhero origin record. Wonder Woman's recent film, is an origin story. How Wonder Woman comes to be. Have you seen Wonder Woman, David?
I have seen it. I saw it with you.
Yes, I'm glad you remember that. I have some friends that don't remember when they've seen movies with me. It's a little disheartening. I've now seen it three times with David. I've seen it with some of our teenagers at the church, and I have seen it with my brother who recently visited. And so Troy and I, my younger brother Troy, we grew up watching Linda Carter play Wonder Woman on television. So she was one of my favorite superheroes. Do you have a favorite superhero, David?
I was always a Batman fan.
Okay, very good.
Like as a kid, but
what? So which incarnation of Batman did you watch?
Oh gosh, so like which talking yeah. about the movies
or television shows?
Who was your first Batman? The general character of Batman.
This is the general character. The comics. All right. Yeah. So the classics.
Yes.
So you are a classic comic Batman fan. Well, Batman is one of the oldest iconic characters in the DC pantheon. So I try to teach David a little bit about DC and Marvel as the two main branches of comics. So DC is.
And I should just say that Christy is a enthusiast. That doesn't even capture when it comes to Marvel and DC and all things comics, you have a true passion for it.
I have a passion for it. As I said, as a kid, I grew up on it, and I grew up in a time where there was just a wealth of great comic book heroes. Of course, we said goodbye to Adam West not that long ago, who was the television Batman. Batman and Robin. It's a little cheesy, but, you know, I loved it. And all the more I loved Superman. I can still, like it was yesterday, remember going to the Burwell Theater in Parkersburg, West Virginia to see Superman the movie in the 70s. And you just, if you hear the Superman music, John Williams' score, I just feel happy. And I feel for some of you younger generations who didn't know the perfection of the Richard Donner Superman movies. But I have a lot that I have learned about Superman, and we're going to be talking about origin stories, since its origin stories have been in the news as of late with Wonder Woman, and then also going back to some of those iconic origin stories. One that we share that I know was popular, I think, in your childhood days too, David, was Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
remember the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is still my favorite. Like Andrew Garfield, I've seen the newest Spider-Man movie too. Went with my little 5-year-old friend, Emerson. Yeah. Emerson fell asleep at the very end, which is, I feel like how some of my dates go, but you know, but it was a lot of fun to introduce a new generation to Spider-Man. But I remember a moment in one of the early Spider-Man movies, I think it's Spider-Man 2, when we have Peter Parker, who is ready to hang up his suit, his Spidey suit, and he has a conversation with his Aunt May about how we all need heroes, and there's a hero inside of us all.
I put the pants in the box, Mrs. Parker.
Thank you, Henry.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Henry, you're getting tall.
Henry, why don't you put those cookbooks in with the mixer?
Okay. You take Spider-Man's pictures, right?
I used to.
Where is he?
Henry and I agree. We don't see his picture in the paper anymore.
He, quit.
Why?
Wanted to try other things.
He'll be back, right?
I don't know.
You'll never guess who he wants to be. Spider-Man.
Why?
Well, he knows a hero when he sees one. Too few characters out there flying around like that, saving old girls like me. And Lord knows, kids like Henry need a hero. Courageous, self-sacrificing people, setting examples for all of us. Everybody loves a hero. People line up for them, cheer them, scream their names, and years later they'll tell how they stood in the rain for hours just to get a glimpse of the one who taught him to hold on a second longer. I believe there's a hero in all of us that keeps us honest, gives us strength, makes us noble, and finally allows us to die with pride. Even though sometimes we have to be steady and give up the thing we want the most. Even our dreams. Spider-Man did that for Henry, and he wonders where he's gone. He needs him.
Last week we talked about identity and having our identity in God. As children of God, we are made in the image of God, created to show the Father through our lives. And I think you see also in some of our classic stories that, just as Aunt May said in that clip that we heard, that there is a hero inside of us. Now, we also know that we have the example of Jesus Christ, who came to the world to show us what it is to truly be human and what God would have us to do in our lives. We're told in the book of John at the very beginning that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that word that John is referring to is Jesus Christ. And later in the epistles, one of the epistles that Paul writes to the church of Philippi, the Philippians, chapter 2 is a very classic statement, chapter in scripture, which was in the early church actually used as a hymn. And it speaks of Christ Jesus, and that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. For who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Christ came in the form of a servant. He didn't come in the form of wealth or power or riches. He came in obedience and humility and servanthood. And I think we see the heroic in Jesus. And every great hero story, I think, in some way can point to God our Father, and particularly the incarnation of Christ in the world. And that's why I think we do need heroes. I'm going to play a song that is a form of a song that those of us who grew up in the 80s will remember. It was made popular by Tina Turner, but I heard a version of it and played it for David recently by an artist that I think he recognizes probably more than Tina Turner, but Seal. Seal got his acting debut in a television show called The Passion. It was a one-night event that was staged actually in New Orleans. Did you hear about this, David? I think it was last year.
I did not hear about this show until you just sent it to me.
Okay.
Recently. It looks like it's a modern take, kind of like the Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Like modern versions.
It is. It's like what certainly Shakespeare is continually reinterpreted, and yeah, Baz Luhrmann did a really interesting version of Romeo and Juliet. But this was brought, actually I think it was Tyler Perry who brought it, produced it, and narrated it. But we see, we don't need another hero. The song that Tina Turner recorded for the film Mad Max, I think it was Beyond Thunderdome. And that, of course, a very dystopian story about still needing a hero, even after a very apocalyptic event. But they decided to use that song, and the Passion event that was done in New Orleans used modern music to tell the story of Christ. And, of course, that's been done before, if you've heard Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell. But they use that song in a moment where Jesus is brought before Pontius Pilate in the Holy Week story, the Passion narrative. And so we're going to hear Seal and Giancarlo Canella, who plays Christ, Jesus, and listen to their version of We Don't Need Another Hero.
Out of the ruins, out from the wreckage, can't make the same mistake this time. We are the children, the last generation. We are the ones we left behind. And I wonder when we are ever gonna change. Living under the fear till nothing else remains. You can rely on.
Again, that was We Don't Need Another Hero by Seal and Giancarlo Canellas. And it is from the Passion event, a live event that was done in New Orleans last year.
Great song. I need to check that out. So we're looking at Philippians passage earlier and just had some thoughts on qualities of a hero and how it relates to this Bible passage. But it is, where is it here? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And that word lowliness, it's interesting to me because it kind of could come off as a negative thing. Like, why would we want to be lowly?
Exactly.
To lower ourselves. And it does say to esteem others better than ourselves, which that kind of makes sense. But, what good could come of being lowly?
Exactly.
One might be...
Seems very countercultural.
Right. And I guess to me, it's you're really making room for a greater power.
Yeah. And it's, I think about how Jesus chose to live, and in his own teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says it's the meek who will inherit the earth. And I think that that's maybe why we continue to need stories of heroes that embodied, I think, the way that Jesus lived. And Superman, for me, is one of those stories. And his origin story is fascinating. And you know that, like Jesus, that Superman came to the Earth. He was Kal-El from the planet Krypton. His father and mother put him in a spacecraft, like a little pod, and they send him out. And again, that was one I saw as a kid, the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. And Jor-El, his father, was played by Marlon Brando. And when he sent Superman, his son, his only son, to the world, to planet Earth, where he knew that he would be incredibly powerful. Because our sun gives power to Kryptonians on Earth. And so he had superhuman abilities, but yet he used them in service to the world. If you remember, he hides his identity as Clark Kent. Remember how he's always mild-mannered Clark Kent? And behind those glasses, nobody recognizes that this is Superman. So Jesus is... He has power. He is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, and he could have used his power in so many different ways, but he deflects that, and instead he makes himself lowly, and he lifts up the lowly of the earth and the marginalized. It's the shepherds who first come at his birth to give him glory. It's not the great powers of the world. So I want to talk a little bit about the Superman story, and I think we might get some inspiration in the origin story of Superman again, because I don't know if you know who wrote Superman. Do you know anything about the origin story of Superman, David?
It has something to do with World War II, or one of the wars?
Something to do. It was kind of pre-World War II. It was written in the 30s.
That's all I know.
Written in the 30s, and so do you know what... I've wondered, one of our questions that I think is fascinating is about different superpowers. Do you know what Superman's powers were?
Superhuman strength.
Superhuman strength, right.
He can fly.
Can fly. Mm-hmm.
And the other one.
The other one. There's X-ray vision.
Of course.
There's X-ray vision. He can deflect bullets. Yeah, just superpowers. He's super in all things. So if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, this question. I feel like the go-to is to be able to fly,
mm-hmm.
speaking of that. Because obviously that would be amazing. Another one that would be pretty awesome, I think, teleportation.
Ooh.
Being able to go anywhere
at
any time. Like, no traffic, no more. Like, you could see whoever you wanted, family, friends.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Take a vacation to Florida on your lunch break.
Wish there were transporters like from Star Trek.
Yes.
Yes.
But so that'd be fun.
Teleportation. That would be good. Wish I could move things with my mind. That would be one of my superpowers.
That what's the word for that? It's
telekinesis. Yes, telekinesis, which Stephen King uses in some of his stories, like Carrie has the ability to do that for a Stephen King book. Also would think the power to heal would be an incredible power.
The pastor, of course, would say
yes,
that.
Yes, healing would be a good power. So, and a power that Jesus has and early disciples had. And so we get kind of back to the connections with Jesus and also wanting to talk about Superman. But the Superman story originated with two Jewish teenagers in the 30s. It was Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Jerry wrote Superman, and Jerry was the artist, or Joe was the artist, rather. So Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And Jerry and Joe, they shopped it around for a while and finally got Action Comics to bite. It was in the late 30s. I think we're getting close to the 80th birthday of Superman. And I did not know the story about how Jerry Siegel's father apparently died in a robbery about a year before he wrote Superman. And the story is a little mixed in different sources about exactly what caused his death. Some stories say that in the robbery, his father had a heart attack, and others say there were shots fired and that perhaps he may have been shot. But nonetheless, Jerry Siegel lost his father at 17 years old. And that has to have played a part in creating this character who has superhuman powers, who can deflect bullets, and who comes to save people. And also on the world stage, on the eve of World War II and the rise of the Nazis, that two Jewish teenagers would create a character who would go on to fight Nazis as also later Wonder Woman and also Captain America will do in these really iconic early superheroes. Isn't that fascinating?
That is.
I'm just so taken by it. And also the fact that I guess it's a lesson for all artists to be very careful about what you do with your creation, because later, as these very young people, Siegel and Shuster, were needing money, and of course they're also, America's coming off of a Great Depression, and so they keep after Action and then later Detective Comics, which becomes DC Comics, to buy Superman. They sell the rights to Superman. Do you know how much they sold the rights to Superman for, David?
Oh my gosh, I don't even want to know. Just some crazy low number?
Some crazy low number for 100
bucks.
A little more than that, 130.
Oh my gosh!
100,
but not much
but
more.
But for both of them, so 130.
All the rights. Oh my lord!
So then later, Jerry Siegel went to work for DC Comics, and it's a story. I can't believe, in some ways, that the origin story of Superman and these two young men, and their whole life story has not been told because it's so fascinating. They, you know, went. You know, they took eventually DC Comics back to court and asked for more money. Siegel continued to write for them and work for them, but it wasn't until I think the 70s when the Richard Donner Superman movies that Christopher Reeve starred in became such multi-million dollar, you know, enterprises that Siegel and Shuster went back to court and they had a PR campaign against DC, which DC did have to start giving them more money. They gave them a pension of $20,000 a year until the end of their lives. And both men died in the 90s. I think Joe Shuster died in 92 and Jerry Siegel died in, I believe, 1996. And then their families have been in litigation with DC, and I think they're still litigating it. But do you know that the number one edition of the comics, Action Comics, that first featured Superman, went to auction, I believe it was in the early part of this decade. I think it was 2011. And do you know how much it sold for, David? If you somewhere
more than $50.
It was more than $50. It was more than $130. Dear listeners of Hippie Radio, if somewhere in your attics you have grandparents, great grandparents who have a number one Action Comics that featured Superman.
100,000?
More than that. It sold
half a million.
It sold for over $2 million.
I was way off.
So I have been known to go to Comic-Con in San Diego a few times, and I have some friends who are really serious comic book collectors, and some people may make fun of that, but you just never know.
It's all about the money.
You never know what kind of gem you have. But imagine those teenagers, you know, about 80 years ago. It really breaks my heart to think of this story of a 17-year-old boy who's lost his father and creates this hero in Superman. And I think so many of us can think about how that story has touched our lives. And from a Jewish teenager who is longing for a savior, and we believe that Jesus is that savior, but I think that Superman story is pointing back to the origin story of Christ in Scripture. It's also pointing to an earlier story in Scripture that points to Jesus, and that's Moses. Think about in the first Superman movie when Jor-El and his wife, Lara, are sending Superman, Kal-El, which also El in Hebrew means God. They put him in that small craft, and they send him out into the unknown, praying that he will make his way to Earth, where he will save the people of Earth. It's so similar to the story of Moses as a little baby who is put in a small basket, who is sent down the Nile by a mother who prays that he will go on and live and do great things, and he goes on to be the liberator of his people. So there's a lot that we can glean from these heroic stories that we find in mythology, we find in the comics, which are kind of American mythology, and of course, Scripture is, I think, how God speaks his truth to us. In fact, C.S. Lewis called the story of Jesus the true myth, and so God as a storyteller points us to them. We also will be hearing from Scripture, and particularly the Philippians passage, at church this morning. If you would like to join me and hear me live at Bellevue Presbyterian Church, you can find me this morning at 10:30 on Highway 70 South in Bellevue, across from Red Caboose Park. And I'm grateful that you've been with us this morning. Thankful for David. And David, how else can they reach out to us on Uprising?
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. If you would like to send us an email, that email is nashvilleuprising@gmail.com. We'll take a prayer request, or if you just want to say hello, drop us a line if you have a question or something you'd like us to talk about on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. Peace out.
Peace out, Nashville.